Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of McMillan and Morrow. I'm Dr. Sean McMillan. This is my co-host, Rich the Morrow.
What up, what up, what up?
Yes. So anyway, thank you for tuning in, people. Good to see you. I hope you are having an amazing day. And if not, we're here to add a little amazement to it. Because that's kind of what we do.
Kind of what we do.
So, you know, what do you got for us today?
I got a lot for us today, but who knows if we'll get through all of it with the way we be going. So we're going to see what we get through. Episode 52, Doc.
Okay.
52 hours sitting here with you.
Okay.
Just letting you know. Okay. First headline. Well, I'm not going to read the headline, actually, but it takes place in India. I'll give you that preface. Okay. According to News 18, a tragic incident occurred during a wedding ceremony where the bride suffered a heart attack and passed away while performing her wedding rituals. Can you believe
God,
that?
God, that's terrible.
That's horrible.
That's how we're starting?
That's how we're starting. The ceremony taking place in front of a famous temple came to a halt as she was rushed to a nearby hospital, and then she was pronounced dead.
Okay.
They said to ensure the wedding celebrations continued, the family made the decision to have her younger sister take her place and marry the groom.
What?
Despite the tragic circumstances, the family and community came together to support the bride's younger sister and the groom.
Wow.
I did not see that going there. I didn't know about this story.
So the younger sister
ended up marrying the groom.
Young actually married the groom.
By the family's request, organization. This is in India, by the way.
Yeah. Staying my ass out of India.
So is this a classic case of the show must go on, or what? What do you think about this? Because I couldn't believe what I just read.
It's a classic case of a community having too much say-so.
I'm talking about she died giving her vows.
Did she die?
Original bride, yeah. Her older sister passed away during the wedding, and they kept the wedding going.
Indian weddings are like multi-day.
They're like
multiple
days
things.
In India, though. You know, like a wedding could be a week long in India. Aren't they like 7 or 9 days?
Yeah, but I mean,
prolonged events.
Did anybody grieve for the dead?
That's
sister?
What I'm thinking. Like, what happened to allow y'all to keep
and
celebrating?
And who were they marrying? Warren Buffett? Let me tell you something. If Warren Buffett wanted to marry me, let's say Warren Buffett was marrying Tyler.
Oh.
And Tyler died.
You would step right in. Step in.
I'm stepping right in. Like, Warren, I'm here for you.
Oh, man.
We can't let this go to waste.
Was this a rich person?
Weddings are expensive, but well, I mean.
I don't.
That's, it's clearly an arranged marriage.
Well,
but
clearly,
I mean, and I'm not going to say clearly, but it sounds like the older daughter was just disposable the way that they just.
It sounds like any woman is
disposable in that family.
Insert woman.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but again, that's a classic example. I think of a community having too much influence over the individual. You know, I'm all for a community and all that, but there's a limit to everything.
I'm thinking about what kind of man you got to be to still go along with it, you know? I'm like, if there's anything that can happen to stop a wedding, that should be it. You know what I mean?
Not if you're not in love. Because you're right. There's another side to this equation. Not only is the family just inserting somebody, but the man is just accepting anybody.
I'm like.
But if you're not in love, then I guess
it doesn't matter, huh?
You're not married. They're not marrying for love, because love would have cried. at least been depressed for a week.
You can't go. By the end of the week, you got a whole different bride. Your original one is dead, but not to mention, you're marrying her younger sister. It's not like you can just comb over that situation. You got to now still have the funeral, still.
But I guess this is the case of how marriage and weddings mean different things in different cultures.
Different cultures, absolutely.
I guess this is more so of two families connecting. So if the point in our culture, the point is two people being in love.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it would seem, and I'm no expert on Indian culture, that in some segment of Indian culture, the point is two families being connected.
Yeah, that sounds like the mob or something.
If it's about two families being connected, then it doesn't matter which one.
It is, yeah.
It is. It just has to, we have to complete that connection. I don't.
What are your thoughts on arranged marriages?
Crazy as hell.
Yeah.
Crazy as hell. Ain't nobody arranging no marriage for me. Nobody's telling me. Listen, again, this is my modern sensibility. Like, I talk about Africa and Africanism and all that, and I'm all that, but there's a limit
to all of it.
To all of that.
Yeah.
And where the chief is going to tell me who to marry, the chief's going to get socked in the eye.
That's where the limit is.
Yeah, no, you're not telling me who I'm. No, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
And there may be some value to it. I'm just saying it escapes me.
A lot of it, I think, equates to power.
It's all about power to me.
So the love takes a backseat.
The community knows. Mm. No, it don't. Sometimes the community is the problem.
Woman slams judge, according to the Unilad in Utah. This is Utah. Woo. Woman slams judge who ordered her to give nude photos to her ex-husband.
You know what's in Utah? And I'm just going to mention it. Don't say anything. Ochiabaji.
Oh, my God.
But let's move on.
A woman in Utah. No. We're not even going to act like that didn't happen.
Let's move on.
A woman in Utah has criticized a divorce judge's ruling that a nude photo album she gave to her ex-husband during their marriage now belongs to him. We've spoken about this briefly in other stories before in the past, but as part of the divorce proceedings, the judge ruled that the boudoir, is that the right way to pronounce it?
Boudoir.
Photo album, which she had created with intimate photographs for her husband, rightfully belongs to him.
Okay. She gave it to him. What's the contention? Well, don't give naked-ass photos to people if you don't want them to have them.
They ruled in favor of the ex-husband, allowing him to keep the copy of the album with the images censored by a third party. The woman objected to this ruling, viewing it as a violation of her privacy.
That's a violation of her privacy.
As a third party would view the images.
That's what happens when you give people naked pictures. Third parties may view. You didn't think that this was a possibility? You always consider the worst case scenario before you do something.
Yeah, that scares me.
Always consider.
Yeah.
And so you give that kind of stuff to people you know you can trust. So if I had some naked photos, I would give them to you.
Oh, and look, I wasn't paying attention to jump back into what you were saying.
I caught that sentence. Wait a minute. You're like, what? Just for the record, people, he would not want my neck.
I'm wondering. Okay. Yes. I'm wondering. So it says.
But my point is.
I want clarification.
My point is, you don't do that with people you don't trust.
Yeah.
And two, if you do it, you do it under the assumption that I might fall out with this person.
Even if you're married?
Especially if you're married.
It's 23.
50% of the marriages don't work out. It's a 50-50 chance if y'all going to be together.
So that husband-wife title don't matter.
But if you do something, always ask yourself the question, can you live with the consequences?
With the worst case scenario.
Can you live with the consequences? Mm-hmm. So if this person lets this out, am I prepared to live with it? And my answer usually is yes. And I'm like, I don't care.
I'm over here thinking to myself, I don't know.
Because you done sent out some videos of you being nasty, and you don't want nobody to see them.
Let's just hope that we got some past people of some good character.
We don't.
Question. It says.
They're coming out. Listen, prepare yourself for it.
Listen, I know, right? Wait.
Let's get ready.
I don't
even know how you prepare yourself for that.
By not giving a damn?
No, a strong PR team.
No. So I got the best PR in the world. You ready? I don't give a damn.
See,
but I mean, what are they gonna, I mean, especially if you look like you.
I mean, I'm not tripping about
it. So you got whatever out there, it comes out, whatever.
That just ain't for everybody. That's all.
And
that should be why you think about these things beforehand, like you're saying.
Or not give a damn.
Or just not give a damn.
I don't care.
That's speaking from the free spirit, Dr. Sean. So, question about this.
No.
You don't care about this. This is how we get so on topic.
No, because you're about to ask me some irrelevant question.
No, it's about the story.
The story is itself kind of irrelevant. The point I'm making is this.
No,
because this is actually important.
Yeah, it is.
Things are devastating only insofar as you empower them to be.
Yeah.
On its own, the facts.
Or if you have a career.
Even that. Since when? Let's use you as the example. Since when, as being handsome and good looking, and people seeing you in a naked, gonna hurt your career.
In the state of the creature craving.
Right in the middle of that, right? How's that gonna hurt your career?
You never know, Doug.
That ain't gonna hurt you. It's gonna,
it might elevate it.
It's, I'm about to say, you probably gonna get more calls.
That's just not what I wanna be.
Yeah, but you're not known.
The first
for
call
that.
Would be from my mama, and that's the one that I wouldn't wanna get.
Well, listen, so, mama.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Listen, we got Tyler B. Tyler, you be mom. I'm gonna be rich.
Oh, God.
Go. I'm gonna help you. Go.
Boy, I just turned on the TV. Go ahead. You need to be a black mama, Tyler. Not your mama. We need
okay,
a black
no, no,
mama.
No, 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 Aaron. Aaron, you,
you don't
mama.
Even want
to
know. We need to let Tyler do it.
Tyler, no, you're going to be white mama.
No, no, no. We
Aaron,
let Tyler
be mama.
No, I want Tyler to do this. This will be hilarious. Let me hear your black mama impression,
you got to say something eventually, son.
What are you going to say?
Hurry
what
up.
What is the scenario?
Oh, yeah. My.
Are you not paying attention?
I was.
This is your son, Richard.
This is your son, Richard. Some photos, some videos came up of me doing the nasty, butt naked, and now the world is seeing it. You're my mom. I'm role-playing for him how to respond.
You just found
Go.
Out.
Okay. I told you. Didn't I tell you? Aaron, come on. Be mom.
Dude, the deep breath that he took before he was about to deliver that.
Oh, my God. Just what is going on?
They're nervous. They're nervous.
I'm firing everybody.
Boy, get your ass in here. I got something to talk. What's these damn these damn photos up here of you?
Okay, there you go, Aaron.
You're like, I know that ain't
you. Ready? Here's the response. You ready? Love you to death. Sorry you had to see it. But you didn't possibly think that I was sitting around not having sex.
She definitely know that.
Okay, so and this
sorry one, you had to see it.
And this one got videotaped. And the last part is
I promise I didn't set up the tripod.
There's no promises in this conversation. That's how you make somebody mad.
I'm joking.
The last part of the conversation is, and I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
My mama might hop on the next flight.
But she what's she gonna do?
And she ain't gonna do nothing. She's
exactly.
gonna remind me. But I'm her son.
And what's that gonna do?
Probably just lead a little disappointment.
And what's that gonna do?
No, make me feel bad.
And then what's that gonna do?
Repeat the same cycle of all the nine.
The point I'm making is
I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We load it up.
The most that can happen is the disappointment of just letting somebody down.
No, the most that can happen is everybody's gonna get over it and live on.
Yeah, your own
feelings. And keep on living.
It's just
your own feelings. What's gonna happen.
You're right. The world ain't gonna stop.
We load it up with all this. Yeah. That's not gonna happen.
You're right.
You grown.
Mm-hmm.
You grown. And of course, you know I love and respect your mama.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not even about that.
She's one of the best people I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet as pie. But even if it was done by my mom, I'm
you gonna say the same thing.
I'm like, Mom, you know I'm grown, right?
Yeah.
I know I'll always be your baby in your eyes.
But you know I'm grown, right?
But Sean is grown.
Yeah.
I can't eat. I couldn't get more growner.
I feel like I still got the little boy.
Well, that's part of your
Me.
That's part of your charm.
Yeah, with my mom.
That's part of your charm.
It's just with her.
But if you've made an adult decision.
You got to stand on
and
that.
And you get caught in adult ways. That ain't the time for you to be 12.
You're right. Just like, yeah, you get arrested. It ain't no.
That ain't the time for you to be like, are you going to help me?
Well, I was.
No. Yeah. You're grown. So be grown now. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry.
It was going to be about the story.
And let me just say, Tyler failed. Totally failed at mimicking a black mother. Thank you for failing.
I wanted to see it so bad.
And Aaron was a little bit better. Okay. You were a little bit better. But way better than Tyler, who couldn't even get a word out.
We can't expect Tyler to necessarily have too much experience in that
That's
either.
True.
So we'll let him off the hook, and we're going to go to break and let him think about that for a little bit.
Are we going to break?
To be fair, we're going to our first break.
To be fair, my pops was black. My mom's was Italian.
Oh, okay. Your mom. Okay, your
Italian
mom.
Moms ain't far off.
But she did act like the black. We used to call my mom the black parent.
I was going to say Italian mothers.
Italian mothers are pretty, they're pretty saucy.
They do. Especially if you're from New York.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, let's take a break. We're figuring out our genealogy.
Yeah.
We're right back.
We're going to be.
Welcome back, everybody. And here we are.
We're going to have to grab our headphones because we're going to go into our first video segment today, your favorite.
Okay. Well, That remains to be seen.
Yeah, hopefully we got some good ones that are going to pique Doc's interest today.
Okay, let's do it.
But that is asking for a lot.
Adjust my fat. Okay.
Most men will only experience unconditional love from their mothers, and some of us don't even get that. Most of us have never even felt appreciation or respect without conditions or hidden intentions. We don't know what it sounds like to hear, "I see you, and I'm proud of you. I'm glad you're here. You really make a difference." Yet the expectation is to constantly be displaying the strength and love that the world is hesitant in conveying. We're expected to have a thick skin but get judged if it turns to a hard shell. The first step in being a man is ignoring the hunger. Cause yes, boy, you're gonna be starving. Starved of attention, starved of affirmation, starved of love, starved of being told that you are enough. Step two in being a man is comfortability with replaceability. You are only as good as you are useful. You are only as valuable as you are needed by others. Should there ever come a day, boy, where you fail to provide everybody with a smiling face, then do not be surprised when they say all men do is take up space. And you are swiftly.
That was very, what's the word? What's the word you would use?
I'm gonna let you come up with the word. That was very, very what to you?
It was very.
Yeah, you can do it.
I don't know if it's the right word. Cynical? What's the word I would want to use?
Oh, okay.
What did you think I was
Well,
say?
First of all, I don't like poetry.
I know you don't. Yeah, I know you don't.
I don't, especially spoken word.
But it was for me more so.
And second of all, he couldn't memorize that poetry. He couldn't read it off his phone.
They do that. It's 2023.
I'm like,
don't nobody even care.
Back in the day,
you had to actually
you had to
have
know
it
so you could act, at least act it out.
I picture most deaf, you know, trying to do deaf. Yeah.
Yeah, like you know what I'm saying?
Deaf poetry.
Deaf poetry.
Yeah.
Those are real poets. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
I know that was bothering
but
you.
But I celebrate the young brother. I'm not coming after you, sir.
I've heard this subject spoken on a couple of times. And in part, there's things you can't argue with that are true.
It's
at
true.
Times. And then and part of it as well is it almost sounds like it's coming from a place of
woe is me. Feeling sorry for yourself.
Victimization. That was the word.
Well, I feel this. I feel if men all that I think everything he said about being a man is true.
Mm-hmm.
Except the problem is men have the power to change it.
That's what I was going to say.
It's not as if men are powerless.
He makes it seem like we were born into that and it's nothing that can be done about it. And I think it has a lot to do with how you're raised. And
No. I'm making a yes. You're right. Mm-hmm. I'm making a different argument. Let's make mine first and we'll
right,
make
go ahead.
Yours. My what I'm saying is it's not as if men are not the power brokers in the culture or the society. Right?
Because we are.
Women are not the power brokers.
So it got to be men.
A woman doesn't even get equal pay for equal work.
Which is wild. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't like how we're seen or treated, then who's seeing us and treating us this way?
It's
most
other
of the time, it's other men.
It's other men.
And if we don't like the way women treat us or see us, then it's not as if they are not under the cultural influences that we create. So everything he said is true. Which is the mendacity, the irony of being a man. We are victims of the world that we created to victimize other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're falling victims to that same world.
Yeah.
So he's right, but to your point now.
A lot of times that's created by the same yeah. entity.
How about we not let that happen?
And I don't want to argue that every man is going to go through that either.
Or that every man feels that
exactly, way. Exactly. Because there's plenty of men that I'm sure got that cup filled, you know, throughout their life where that's not something that they feel they can relate to as much. But that comes with environment. It comes with circumstance. Some people are born into different situations that, you know.
There are people,
you know,
namely women and children,
mm-hmm.
who are in a lot worse
situations,
conditions.
You feel me? And
that okay.
was my thing.
Sitting around woeing and woe is me as a man.
Yeah,
has a certain level of validity because men are human and we mm-hmm. suffer too. But that's a hard argument to make when we are the ones oppressing other people
and that have created
that's
the
like,
toxic
that's like
environment.
White people, that's like white people complaining about racism.
Yeah,
what?
It's like it didn't have to be here.
Yeah, like.
But
how about you invented it?
Yeah.
And you've been perpetrating it for 400 years.
And now it's starting to affect you a little bit more than it. You want it.
Well, not even, because then nobody races against you.
Yeah, against you anyway.
Yeah.
Now you're just starting to develop
Men are running around. Women are children. Women and children are impoverished. Lowest healthcare outcomes happen between women and children. All of that. Hunger, poverty. And we are complaining that we can't fully be ourselves in a world that we created.
Yeah.
Where we don't allow women and children to be half of who they are. That's
obviously
why.
Not all
that's why the snake eats its own tail.
That's a great way to put it.
That's what he's doing,
and that's what it felt like. I'm like, part of me wants to celebrate it in so many ways, but then there's a part of it where I'm like, it's almost like that pick me person, where it's like you saying this to get attention, which is one of the things you're talking about. And then on top of it, you're not addressing the other side of this coin.
Here's my other thing. This is just okay. How about you say it better than that?
It just could have been worded a little bit better.
I mean, I just, come on now. I'm into excellence.
Yeah.
I'm into excellence. How about we just put a little more into it?
You can't
just
put a bunch of powerful statements together and think that just.
Well, those weren't even powerful statements, first of all. But. Just come on and give it to me better than that.
Yeah.
I mean, have you heard Jill Scott on Deaf Poetry Jam?
I actually haven't, but Jill Scott would be somebody probably. When you know her lyrics and also her songs, I could imagine her killing Deaf Poetry.
I suspect with the TikTok generation, that was impressive.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. It was impressive powerful to them.
I come from the HBO generation, and that didn't impress us.
Yeah. This next video has taken us not to Africa.
I could have been a poet, by the way.
But did you know that Africa had an original name other than Africa?
Aki Bulin.
Ooh, well, let's watch this video.
Africa was not originally called Africa. We had a completely different name. Wow. I'm going to tell you what Africa was called, why the name changed, and who changed it. Pay attention. The landmass we now know as Africa was home to many peoples over the centuries. Moors, Numidians, Nubians, Carthaginians, and Ethiopians. The name Africa was created by Europeans, and the Romans popularized it in the West as part of their conquest of the region, specifically the northern parts of the continent. The word Africa was Greek and Latin origin. Africa in Latin means sunny, and Phrygia in Greek means the spirit of horror. The land was known by many names, such as Ortygia, Kofi, Libya, and Ethiopia. But what was the original name of Africa? The indigenous name. It was Al-Kabulan, which translates to the Garden of Eden and Mother of Mankind. Now, some would like to argue that Al-Kabulan is an Arabic name, but the truth is it just sounds Arabic because of the Al and is not Arabic in origin. As we build a better awareness of our identity, now you know what the continent was originally called.
Wow, I learned something today.
I didn't.
I know you didn't. But
I don't know if I want to take history advice from somebody in a hoodie and some shades. So I want my brother.
I didn't expect him to go into all of that when I saw that.
I want
initially.
My brother to work on the presentation so that he can at least appear to
but
be a
wait,
bit more
hold
credible.
On. How powerful is that? The Garden of Eden, Mother of Mankind. Wow.
What is so astounding about that?
I just feel like that if that were something that was taught to every kid growing up in school, there would be so much less debate about certain things. I'm just going to leave that there.
Okay. No, you
get where I'm going with that? And the fact that people like to argue
certain stuff. Let me correct.
Mm-hmm.
Not you, but let me correct the statement.
Go for it.
If it were taught in homes.
Homes.
Because the responsibility of black children is not to be taught by white schools about their history and culture. It's the responsibility of black parents to teach black children about their history.
And they have to be taught from somewhere too.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
It's got to start somewhere.
Exactly.
So this is, let me tell you, here's why I say that, because I'm mm-hmm. taking a sort of a hard line with it. When I was in college, I took five classes every semester.
Mm-hmm.
And I always took a sixth class. You know what the sixth class was?
Philosophy.
Whatever I wanted to learn that semester.
Just whatever you could.
Huh? I took five classes that the curriculum said I had to take.
And then like an elective?
No. Oh. And then Sean would go to the library mm-hmm. and research what I wanted to learn.
Oh, so it wasn't a formal class.
It was my class.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
So the reason I know Aki Bullen, mm-hmm. the reason I know the original name is because I learned it in one of my classes.
You was curious.
Not in one of the classes that the college made me take,
mm.
but in one of the classes that I wanted to learn about what I wanted to learn.
You're a learner.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, some people don't care the enough point to educate I'm making, themselves.
That's yes, but the mm. point I'm making is mm-hmm. you said that if schools taught this, yeah. we would have
it's not on
a
them.
Certain outcome.
Yeah.
And I'm saying you want the same system that put you in slavery?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That ban made it illegal for you to learn how to read and write?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they're going to teach you that where you come from is the cradle of civilization? Yeah, the Garden of
that.
Eden?
Yeah, they don't they're want not going to know
teach
that.
You that.
No.
Don't mean you can't know it.
Exactly.
It means that your community, your village has mm-hmm. to teach it to you.
You're right.
So, and let's make this a larger point. And mm-hmm. Actually, I like that video.
Yeah.
For different reasons, which we'll come back to. But if a kid goes to school, and I'm forgetting now what age a kid learns to read. When does a kid learn to read? What
you
age?
Start reading early, like first
grade.
What grade? Like kindergarten.
By what grade should a kid be able to read? Google
proficiently,
it.
Maybe.
First grade, second
first,
grade?
Second grade, maybe third. Right. Like latest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, for example, they just did a study of children in, I think it's Baltimore. And either Baltimore or Philadelphia. Of which the majority of the kids go to school and they're not reading at the right grade level. Or yeah. they go to school and they can't read.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I watched this whole, I'm going somewhere. I watched this thing with the parents talking about the schools and not this and not that. And I thought to myself, you're right, the schools. And America is the only place where you have first class prisons and second class schools.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is this to those parents. Why are you counting on a school to teach your children how to read? It is not their job to teach your child how to read. It's their job to give your child things to read.
Yeah.
To teach them to learn about how they're reading,
mm-hmm.
but it's your job to make sure that they know how to do it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's certain formal things you have to know to teach a child how to read. I get that.
That they do
but that's school. Also your damn job.
Yeah.
We got too many people relying on a school to do something that it's not going to do. It's not going to teach you.
Can I take your point and raise it?
Yeah, please.
A system, not just a school.
How about that?
An entire system.
How about that? It's not going to do it.
Trust in a system it's that not wasn't do designed
it.
For that.
It's not going to do it.
And truth be told, the people that created that system would never even want a
lot
of
I read the autobiography of Malcolm X in high mm-hmm. school. You think I read it in the class?
No.
No, I read it because I wanted to read it.
And learned probably way more than you did in so many classes.
But again, mm-hmm. I was surrounded by people. Now, my mother had a sixth grade education. My mother was not an educated woman.
Yeah.
She didn't graduate from elementary school.
Mm.
But I was surrounded by other people. Judge Daniel Webster Joy,
mm-hmm.
Ruby Joy, Harvey Stone, mm-hmm. Trudy Stone, huh? Mr. and Mrs. Witherspoon. These were people who were college educated, smart people,
mm-hmm.
and they surrounded me with an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying to black families, black mothers, black fathers, black children, you ain't gonna learn what that guy talked about in Chicago public school system or the New York public school system. But that
Baltimore,
who
wherever.
Says you have to learn it there?
You don't, especially in 2023.
Instead of handing your kid an iPad
yeah.
and saying go watch the Teletubbies
mm-hmm.
or go watch whatever it is we send our kids off to watch.
Mm-hmm.
How about we teach them how to read?
Download Amazon Kindle on that iPad and have them read
some books.
How
about we teach them how to read?
Yeah.
Because the difference between a child growing up to be someone, a man or a woman, who can manage and handle and command their future, mm-hmm. or how many words they learned before they got to the first grade.
Is that the real foundation you're laying right there, huh?
A kid who knows 100 words, by the time that kid is 3 or 4, mm-hmm. is going to have a different outcome.
Yeah.
At 18 and 20.
I hear that.
And we're going to be real. Y'all can say what you want, but we're going to be 100. We're going to keep it 100 on this show. Mm-hmm. All of us know, you and I, black people, we have all encountered that black kid who we know, you can hear it in his voice, nobody's reading to him. Mm-hmm. Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely.
He sounds different. Mm-hmm. The tone of his voice is different.
It's unsure.
No. It's the complete opposite of mm-hmm. unsure. Mm-hmm. He sounds like mm-hmm. the world that's producing him. Mm-hmm. He sounds like a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
And he's 5.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about... I thought you were talking about the opposite. My bad.
No. We've all been around that kid who you know ain't nobody reading no stories to him mm-hmm. at night.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're right. It's like, that's a grown man in that body.
He's too grown.
He's too grown to be that little.
That little kid is too grown.
Yeah.
Somebody's not doing something.
Yeah.
He don't even have a kid's sound.
Yeah.
And where do you get that sound from? You get it when people are reading you stories. Mm. And your imagination is a lot bigger than the experience of the details of your life.
Yeah. Do you think that that's a consequence of kids being forced to grow up too fast?
I think it's the consequences of people having babies they probably shouldn't have.
And
they're not ready to have.
Raising them.
They're not parenting
yeah.
in a way that's going to produce healthy and responsible and smart kids. Mm-hmm. And of course, to your point earlier, it goes back to how they were parents.
Exactly. It's a generation.
So a lot of it they inherited. So I'm not saying
it's not their fault.
But I'm saying, who's going to break it?
And that's where curses and generational curses.
Who's going to stop it?
Yeah.
Who's going to say, I'm not allowing the public school system to determine what my child learns?
Because that's going to determine your family's
trajectory. Go to school and learn the details and learn the basics, and then come home, and we're going to learn some other stuff, too. We're going to learn about where you come from. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn about Akhenaten.
And your strengths, yeah.
Huh? Mm-hmm. We're going to learn about Imhotep.
Yeah.
We're going to learn about the book of coming forth by day and night, or the book of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to learn about Cadmus, who gave Europe writing and language.
Yeah.
We're going to learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
The degree of Shu, Anu. I can keep going, Doc.
And you know, I'm thinking about this as you bring it up. And I hate this for our people in particular, is that it's not a norm, I feel like, in our culture to crave learning and educating ourselves. You know, like you said, we rely on other entities.
Because we've taken on the value, sorry, Tyler, of white people.
Yeah.
Like, we've taken on the values of white people.
Like, the more that I think about
competition,
it, the more I feel it.
Mm-hmm. Consumerism, acquisition,
yeah.
fame. That's what we value. Where we get that from?
Western culture. Well. Yeah.
Does Western culture ask itself, who can we collaborate with? No, who can we conquer? Mm-hmm. Did Western culture ask, who doesn't have enough? No, it asks, how can I get more?
And yeah, who got it so I can take it?
Does Western culture ask, who needs attention, who needs a hug? And no, how can put the camera on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we learned it from. And then we have the nerve to indoctrinate or to mix that with being urban, and then to mix it with being black, and we call it black culture.
Yeah.
Sorry, folks. Shouldn't have tuned in if you didn't want the truth.
Yeah, you have a lot to think about. It does.
No. Let's keep. Remember that. We did an episode on the ratchet rapper that everybody loves.
We're
gonna mention her name.
We're not gonna mention her.
Right? Mm-hmm. Just every song is about her butt.
About about her butt being brown.
Right. Right?
Booty hole being brown.
There are folks in our community who think that that's black culture. That's culture. Yeah. That's who we are. Now, she is a part of us.
Now?
No, always. And we love her dearly. Yeah. She's a part of us.
Yeah.
The point I'm making is that what she's giving to the world, it ain't us.
Yeah.
It's not us. She learns that.
From somewhere.
From somebody else's culture.
Mm-hmm.
That values that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just accepted those principles.
And changed the
we've
name.
We've wrapped them in our skin color.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Added some Africanism to it.
Yeah.
And now we think this is, no.
Black culture now.
The point of this video mm-hmm. that we just watched was to identify what is unique about being African.
Mm.
What is the contribution of Africa to the world?
The world.
And mm. how other cultures have imposed itself on Africa. Was that not
because that's where it started.
Was that not the point of the video?
It was.
Okay. The same thing happens not just in terms of this video, but happens in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
Our dear sister who makes that song and mm-hmm. everything's about her butt,
mm-hmm.
or the parts yeah. of her body. Sweetie, that's not African.
Mm-mm.
It's not.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
It just ain't.
Yeah, getting your body altered and all of this stuff. It was not Listen, what we was doing.
It's not Africa.
It ain't. I get it.
I'm not killing you for doing it.
Mm-mm.
Just understand it's where not, you got it from.
Yeah, what it is and what it ain't.
And if you can live with that, fine. And if you can live with that.
That's your prerogative, yeah.
That's fine. I'm just letting you know, don't try to convince me.
Of what it is.
That this is
yeah.
this is what black folks.
Yeah.
That's not black folks.
I get what you're saying.
That's white folks.
Mm-hmm. Whether you want to put it that way or not, that's
a
what it
Western
is.
Culture. If we want to,
I was going to say,
we don't
want to
condemn
put it
all
as
white people, of course.
Of course not.
But we will condemn Western culture
because it came from somewhere.
The hell I won't.
it came from somewhere.
Western culture is a trip.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you got next.
We're going to go to break on that note.
Yeah, let's go to break.
Yeah.
Because now all the black families are mad at
They him. All looking at the TV like.
He's a conservative.
This guy.
Nah. Yeah. Teach your own children how to read. Stop counting on your former slave master to do it.
Yeah.
Now let's go to break.
Want the best of Maury? Kevin. You are not.
Want the best of the Steve Wilkos show? Would you take Dave back if you left Katie?
Want the best of Jerry Springer?
Just download Nosy on your mobile device or stream it on Pluto TV, Samsung TV, or the Roku channel. Until next time, America.
We're back, people. We're back, okay? People don't know how to take breaks and come back. But I know how to come back. And here we are back on the air after a nice break. We did a lot of talking about it.
We've been having some great topics lately.
Great conversation.
Yeah.
Let your children see you read, and they'll want to read, too. Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah, we're just going to leave that there for them. Hopefully they do what they will. Q&A time.
You're going to get a lot of messages.
A lot of messages.
You're going to get a lot of messages. You're going to have a lot of stuff to read. Don't call me about none of them.
Only the ones that I don't want to deal with.
Repeat. Don't call me about none of them. I will hang up on you.
All right. Q&A time. Questions yes. for our viewers that they've wanted to ask us. For those who don't know, we take this time to ask Doc or myself or both questions that you guys want to know or hear us answer. So the first one for today is, what do you think the term melting pot will mean within 100 years or more from now?
Melting pot. What I think it will mean
in 100 years.
This is a question from a viewer.
Yeah.
I think the term will become more and more pejorative, more and more negative. Melting pot now. When I was a kid, melting pot was the ambition of the American experience.
Dream, yeah.
Right. We all come from different cultures and we melt into one stew.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, as in my generation pointed out,
mm-hmm.
Is that, well, when things are melting, they lose their identity. They lose their distinctiveness.
Wow.
I don't want Irish people to be less Irish.
Yeah.
I want Italians.
Yeah.
Have you eaten Italian food?
I love Italian food.
Let me tell you something.
That's my favorite.
Okay, I give white folks a hard time.
But Italians can cook the hell out of some food. I'm saying, go to Italy.
I don't take it too far. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I mean, we need Germans to philosophize. Yeah. We need British.
Everybody has value in some way.
I think melting pot will be a pejorative term.
Mm.
It'll be negative.
Why do you think it's moving more so in that direction?
Because we should be a garden, not a pot under some damn heat.
Ah, you be dropping these. Because it all started off as a garden.
That was good too. I didn't think
about
that.
That's what made me think of that.
That was good. Wait. Let's get rich. Let's cut the staff.
Started off as a garden,
according to the Christian tradition.
Yeah, of course.
But yes, and
but when you think
Judean
of the term
tradition.
Of a garden anyway, and having different fruits, you got vegetables,
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
we have different flowers, different plants, mm-hmm. eggplants over here, apples. You know,
I mean, it's so evident, even just in nature in itself, in the way
it's
that the
garden.
Animals are constructed, and the way that the environment's constructed. It's all so perfect as a garden that we don't need to weed whack it.
It's balanced.
That's a good word to put.
Not call it perfect.
Not perfect. It ain't perfect.
Because things are dying in the garden.
But, okay. I mean, you even
balance.
Educated me on what the human race really even, you know, what human means.
Yes.
To be human is to die.
That's part
of the garden. Yes. Things live and things die.
Right, but that's balance.
That's balance.
In perfection, nobody dies.
It ain't perfect. Yeah, you're right.
But anyway,
I guess so.
That
was a great first question, by the way.
Did I answer it?
You did. You think what? Did you answer what you thought the term melting pot would mean in 100
years?
Oh
yes, that's right. Yeah, I think it'd be pejorative. We'll replace it with garden.
So small little bit to that before we move on. By that respect, should people stay within their category to avoid melting?
No.
No.
Well, first of all, let's take the metaphor of melting out of it.
Okay.
We shouldn't stay in our categories because it's only when we interact with other cultures and other people that we grow.
That we grow.
So if you don't want to grow, then just stay with yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And be therefore stunted and provincial.
And that's what you
would be. Predictable.
Yeah.
But if you want to grow, you interact with some other parts of the garden and you learn to appreciate who they are. As you learn to be affirmed in yourself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
If you can't tell me you're proud and all you do is sit at home.
Mm.
If you're so damn proud, take it out into the world.
Celebrate it, good people.
Walk it down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
We show off things we're proud of.
Don't we do that?
Yeah, we do.
So if you're so proud, then take your Africa to Asia.
Yeah.
Go to Soho in London and just black it down the street. let the white folks have to look at it
and don't care about what they say.
Some will learn to appreciate it and some will be turned off, but you don't care because you're proud of it.
You're proud. Mm-hmm.
Go eat some of their food.
Mm-hmm.
British people put mayonnaise on french fries.
On every.
I mean, just Brazilians, you know, experience it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then be open for the invitation of them to come home to Ethiopia and to Sudan with you.
Yeah, and try some peanut soup or something.
To me, that's how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just staying in your silo, if you're under assault and you're being hunted,
mm-hmm.
then you might.
Yeah, that's different.
Then that's different.
That's very different.
of course, if you're being stalked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you got to be more protective.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking more in a more general sense. Nah, I mean,
I think that leaves an opportunity for people to actually appreciate the other, you know, things that other cultures, people different from.
But I'm also saying it leads mm-hmm. you to appreciate yourself
and yourself.
It's not true pride
mm-hmm.
if it's just reaffirming.
Yeah,
it's true pride in who you are as a black person, as a woman. As a straight person, as a gay person, as a New Yorker,
mm-hmm,
whatever it is, it's true pride when you can stand in the presence of somebody wholly other than you.
That's different, yeah.
And feel joy,
just as proud and joyous
about what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not intimidated by you.
Yeah.
I'm not insecure.
And what do they say? Comparison is the thief of joy. Isn't that what they usually? would say.
Yeah, but I'm not. Yeah,
and it's not. But you're not comparing yourself in that situation.
Yeah, I'm not talking about comparing oneself.
This is what I'm saying though. That's not even. That takes joy out of it. Is when people start to compare.
Yeah.
And what you're saying is you got to be able to stand alongside these differences and still be proud, but also accept that other people have different things that still can be of value and help you grow, without compromising or belittling or feeling like you have to compare what you have and who you are in order to feel meaningful.
See, here's the danger, though. Here's the danger. Because some people may be thinking I'm saying that you can only be proud about being black if you are in the presence of white people. It's not what I'm saying.
No.
What I'm saying is this. Only surrounding yourself with black people diminishes the true expression of what it means to be proud of the fact that you're black.
That you're black, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's one thing to be surrounded by your village and mm-hmm. to know I'm safe, I'm protected, and I have...
It's easy to be proud then.
That's my point.
Yeah.
It is a lot harder to be in the presence of something that's radically different
mm-hmm.
and not to lose your shape.
Yeah.
So whatever pride that I have in being black
mm-hmm.
came from black people.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Full stop. No, nothing else to the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever experiences I had outside of the black community did not make me proud to be black.
Mm-hmm.
Those experiences that I had outside of the black community allowed me to put that pride to use.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the pride
mm-hmm.
from Mother Pendergrass and Mother yeah. Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Names black folks that nobody mm-hmm. cares about, who ain't black.
Yeah.
But when I went into other parts of the world, other parts of humanity,
mm-hmm.
now I could put what they gave me to use.
Yeah, and that was what
I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, you good.
Because as long as I'm in my village, I don't need it.
You don't have to use
it. I don't use it. But when I leave the village, now I got to use it.
And that was my point, because I went from inner city Cleveland, and now I was surrounded
but
by
people.
But
you got to be careful with your language.
You did. I know, and I didn't really know how to explain. Because I was so young, it's hard for me to even conceptualize a lot of it.
Because I don't want people to hear you saying
mm-hmm.
that because you were around white people,
mm-hmm.
it gave you something, made you something,
mm-hmm.
did something better.
I'm not saying that.
I know you're not.
Yeah.
I'm making it clear that the people watching.
It expanded my mind.
It did not expand your mind.
No. It put it in perspective, though.
Stop.
Of where.
No, it didn't.
And who we are and how I can be prouder.
It didn't do that.
Okay.
I'm pushing back hard.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying the only thing it did for you
mm-hmm.
was gave you the occasion
mm-hmm.
to use what you already
to
had.
To actually use what I have.
Yes.
Yeah.
You learned mm-hmm. to be good to people and to mm-hmm. be righteous to people in your mama's house.
Absolutely.
You mm-hmm. learned how to stand up for yourself,
mm-hmm.
how to be proud of who you are
mm-hmm.
in your mama's house.
Yep.
You learned it on your block.
I get what you're saying now. I get what you're saying.
You know
I got
saying?
To put it into use
yes.
when I was actually in them
it
environments.
Didn't expand.
Because it didn't matter
I
before.
Almost said, it didn't expand a damn thing for
yeah.
you. You were already expanded.
It was just exposure at that point.
What you got yeah. from those encounters
mm-hmm.
is you got a full experience mm-hmm. of what it means to show up in the world
mm-hmm.
armed with all that.
All of that.
You got a chance
regardless
to
regardless of where you are. And that was just the first environment
didn't
that I got to actually put it to use.
Hanging around white folks didn't expand nothing.
I'm not saying that it definitely, I'm not saying that it made
did.
Me.
Stop talking. I'm helping. You're hurting.
This is going to make sense to
okay,
me.
Please.
It was pretty much what you were trying to
okay,
say.
Okay, go, go, go.
It was like, I realized that by being put in that situation, I finally had the opportunity to finally understand those gifts that my mom
there
and that
go.
Black people had
that's,
given
that's,
to me.
That's what it is.
Because I didn't have a chance to understand that until I was put out of the environment.
Until you
of
had
being
to
so,
use it.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm putting, I don't know where we are on time.
Yeah.
But the thing, what'd you say?
Bring it home.
Bring it home? Can. The thing I'm trying to push back on
yeah.
is this notion that some black people have
mm-hmm.
that being around white culture and white people
mm-hmm.
endows you with something.
No, because it could have happened from anybody
listen,
else.
I'm not
yeah, no,
you.
I got you.
Breathe.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm listening. I'm
some white folks, now. Some black folks have that sense of hanging around white people.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to get us to understand
mm-hmm.
is that And again, it's different if you're raised by a white person.
Of course.
I'm not talking about biracial people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about most black people who are born in black families and black. When you show up in those spaces where they are multicultural, multilingual, they're not giving you anything.
No.
They are requiring that you release, uncover, realize what's already in you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it.
That's the real test.
Because the whole notion of I go to other parts of the world and I can be open-minded and drink different cultures, the other culture didn't teach you that.
Yeah.
Your grandmother's culture did.
It's almost like you giving yourself permission to be your full self when you want to, just because you're in a different environment. Oh, no. It's like, no, you learned all of that, like you said, from the jump. Self. And you already had it, but now you're put in a situation where you can actually put it to use and apply.
Well, that. You have to. All right, let's go because Tyler's going to have a fit.
Yeah,
not that I give a damn about Tyler.
Like he gives a damn about Tyler's feelings. That's what I was about to say.
He got fit all he wants.
I feel like I learned a lot today, Doc. Like, actually. I feel like I actually learned a lot about that subject.
Yeah, no, that's great.
And we hit some great topics. I don't even remember where we started, but
it's pretty typical. And it went by really fast. We got to go, people, okay? And so thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Pay the bills.
Here on McMillan and Morrow. And, yeah, we love everybody, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
But we love ourselves too. See you next time.
Later. Yeah.
The content on McMillan and Morrow is provided as commentary on news and current events for entertainment purposes.